Hi folks, I'm Martin, and you are with Kaput Radio. As announced recently, I would like to present today some answers and also new questions about the method of creating our global finance and what's wrong with it. The material I present is based on a recent article Graham wrote and passed on to me. Thank you, Graham. So, as I will tell the story myself, I hope you can excuse my English, since English is not my first language. For a while, I noticed the media world thrives on accusing questions about the banks, politicians, and businesses. It surely is a sign of the confused and helpless reaction to not grasping the key of the problem that media can sell it to the public all the time. So, let some clarity prevail and get into Graham's head, figuratively speaking, I mean. In Graham's view, we must separate the method of money creation from the so-called system to get anywhere for a better understanding. Graham begins by asking, what is a system of monetary creation? Do we have one, or do we have a singular method of money production? The word system gives the impression of having a series of parts that can be tampered with, reformed, or altered to suit the needs of economic conditions. On the other hand, a single method of producing money either works for humanity or it doesn't. The method used in producing money is more of an event rather than a system. The method converts the value of a bank's client's security or asset to a financial value, and this converted finance is made available to the client, usually for a set period at an agreed price rate per annum to the asset's owner. This newly produced money has not created a new value or new wealth, but neither has it produced a debt in real terms, because the money produced this way represents a bank deposit by the client. The bank has performed a commercial service that converted a percentage of the value of the client's asset into monetary form. If the asset is a future cycle of a factory's production, the factory is the asset. If the goods can't be sold, the client can't make a profit with which to pay for the bank's service. Both lose on the desired profit. This client's converted asset's value as money is the client's deposit with the bank. The client pays the bank's charges and fees for the service through interest payments as the deposit is withdrawn. The obvious requirement of a client's payment in this context is not a debt, but an ongoing charge rate. One can see the asset as a deposit and the conversion of it to money as a bank service, for which the client pays while using the money, similar to the higher fee that's paid for a product or service while it is out on hire. I liken this transaction to the purchase of or the hiring of any service. One is actually paying the bank through the interest outlays for a service that has hopefully produced a profitable financial product. In this context, one is not really in debt, rather one pays for a product and an ongoing service. If a client is eventually unable to keep up with payments for the service, the bank, if it is an efficiently run legal business enterprise, would then be in a position to profitably dispose of the client's security. The subprime debacle in the USA is a prime example of gross inefficiency in the banking industry, as was the parceling of collateralized debt obligations as a financial product. Our particular global method of converting an asset's value into money can't be reformed. The method is either in place or can be replaced or exchanged for a workable method. I think, says Graham, of the method as a process that needs replacing. The monetary or economic system comes post the production of the money. The financial or economic system then determines how best to use the type of money that's produced by the method. The economic system in use is a result of the technique we use to bring money into being, In this sense, the economic system or monetary system will self-reform after the asset conversion event. And over the centuries, we can observe these self-adapting changes as the experienced economic ups and downs eventuated. Money arrives into global circulation through a bank's conversion of a client's security into money. But no system of economics using the present asset-based method is or has been able to produce a stable, sustainable socio-economic environment. Sustainable, in fact, is unachievable within this economy, regardless of the quality of or the number of reforms, brand names or transformations it has undergone. Many other desirable ideas regarding the alleviation of poverty and wars are also impossible. A workable method produces a workable system, so to me, it seems we need a new method of producing money rather than a reform of an economy that's based on the present debt-based method. And now, there are some other aspects to ponder. We continue to struggle under and have all seen the global economic result of the present method, but what is actually happening prior to the asset-based event? I'm talking about the so-called asset itself on which finance-driven economics is based. Are we really getting new money when we convert the value of an asset to finance? This converted money is predicated on the existence of the eventual existence of a value that produces the asset. Isn't this present method of making money always a step behind, never able to catch up with the value of our produced goods and services? How was the already existing asset created? Did its financial value spontaneously manifest? How did it get its value? Wouldn't the asset's value have been created on the a priori value of yet another asset, and so on all the way back to an original asset in the vault of a 17th century goldsmith's safe house? How would this affect the value of and the definition of our money today? An asset itself is improved by expansion, growth, or other development, so its value improves. It can be presented as a security against financial conversions many times during its existence. Assets, however, can only have a value if supported by the system. The financial state of the economy at any one time determines an asset's value. Present money has a use, but is it a value? Is it valuable because of its scarcity as a financial resource? Is it a social detriment or a benefit? Is it in fact a credit or a debt? Yes, it is a system that has brought us to where we are today, but where is that in terms of human and environmental values? Now, let's dig in a bit more about the whys. To explain what flaws this method of asset-based finance causes, Graham writes, "Because money is scarce, there are not enough jobs with adequate incomes to offset living costs. Just ask teachers, nurses, firemen, farmers, and so forth. Jobs become scarce as manufacturers go offshore looking for cheap labor in third world economies. At least because of the cheap labor employed making our goods in the third world, our folk on low incomes can afford the lower prices of most necessities. Local industry cannot afford to pay adequate wages at home. The scarcity of the financial resource is caused by the buying back of the asset lodged by the client with the bank as a deposit. A typical scenario would have wages and salaries that are put into circulation for production becoming the producing community's purchasing power. After industry has paid for the bank service and paid the wages for production with profit that it made from sales, the client buys back the asset also with profit. All that is left now in circulation as purchasing power is the remaining profit. After the asset's value has been returned and paid with profit, that money is cancelled. It no longer exists. The profit money as community purchasing power, now minus the converted money, is less than the price industry asks to cover production costs and profit needed. The money that continues in circulation is part of the profit made by the client and the bank. Local earnings, as local wages, etc. in circulation, are unable to meet the costs of, for example, the goods it has produced. As the cost of the workers' profit, that's their wages, must be reflected in the price of a community's products, the earnings in local circulation consist of workers' wages alone, not the cost of the wages. To recover their industrial costs through prices, producers rely on profitable trade outside the local community, that means export. To keep prices down requires industry to produce much more than local requirements. Australia, as an example, produces up to 80% above its national food, wine, meat and cereal grain needs, vast percentages more than its mineral needs, its wool fiber needs. Even so, the domestic market struggles for profitability. The government treasury always falls short in funding for its much-needed initiatives and existing facilities. When the money is returned to the asset, its absence in the marketplace leaves the community unable to meet the cost of industry's prices without export profit. Hence, the incredible poverty of third world nations that are necessarily denied export share. The export markets, because of ever-present financial scarcity, are heavily restricted, competed for, and fought over. If a nation is not powerful, it needs powerful friends. I think Graham means us Australians, for example, and we do constantly affirm our loyalties to the relevant circles with repeated meetings of state leaders. Yes, we do. Because of financial restraints, we look around us in quiet and impotent desperation while protesters protest in vain as each new social and ecological crisis emerges, as concerned scientists continue, as they have done down the years, to mutter the warnings we have heard a million times. But the economy continues to come first, as it must, because of the present method for our economic survival. If our economy is not ranked in importance above all other considerations, it is in danger of collapse, plunging our first world into depression. The litany of dire predictions on the echoing sound of frustrated protest coalesced into a background dirge that subliminally colors the already somber, frustrated outlook of several concerned generations. To improve things, we must first understand this problem of the flawed method. Please don't ask for a reform of the system, okay? Maybe somehow we can find a way to replace it with a much more benign method. Okay, thank you all for your interest. I want to thank Graham for all his help. And Community Radio 2, NIMFM 102.3 and www.nimfm.org, that is nimfm.org, on the internet to allow broadcasting and streaming the show. Just catching my breath, yeah. If you like to email me, use the contact feature on my program page of Kaput X Radio at radioforall.net, that is radio4all.net. I'm Martin. I will check in again on the podcast scene with something entirely different next time. One has to laugh occasionally. So with this in mind, catch you soon.